You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Get in the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
Could we be better? Yeah. Could we be worse? Yeah. I mean, we are what we are. And, but I like the resiliency of this team. You know, they fight. I felt like there are so many times we should have put the game away today, and we didn't do that. So. We still have to get, you know, where we get to the point where we got a team down, we put them away. And we didn't do that today. So that's, you know, something we'll keep talking about, keep working on, and trying to fix.
There he is, the head football coach of a team that has grinded its way back to a 500 record going into the bye week. This is Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company. Phil Mackey, Judd Zulgad, our executive producer, Declan Goff. This is Daily Vikings Entertainment, and we just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. Really that much to ask for? Really? Once?
You wouldn't think so.
Right?
And quit trying to kill us, too.
Just giving us
like
heart
attacks.
The
last 2 weeks, you're trying to actively kill your fan base. It's not fair. They haven't seen a championship.
So if you're watching us on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, thank you. If you could click the subscribe button and the like button, it would help spread the word about this show, and it would give you Daily Vikings Entertainment in return. And TCL is offering a new lineup of award-winning TVs, delivering the most entertainment with stunning resolution at an affordable cost. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Declan, I'm going to have you hit the buttons here because I don't have access to my button bar today in this remote location. But before we get into the pie chart of praise, listening to Mike Zimmer talk there, I feel like what happens on Ventline, especially the last couple weeks, but more yesterday, we're sitting there and we're riding the roller coaster that the Vikings are putting us through. And like for the 90 minutes of Ventline yesterday, I was still so mad about the way they let that game slip away and like hadn't flipped back into big picture mode and back into, but they came back against a good defense on the road, and Kirk daggered another team late, right? I feel like my comments and the way I viewed that game through the Ventline lens was still in like, I'm going to complain about all the things that drove me nuts in that game, as opposed to really zooming out and saying, okay, yeah, it wasn't the prettiest of wins, but that was one of the best defenses in the NFL on paper. Maybe they're a little bit of a fraud and that they played a lot of bad teams, but that's definitely a top 10 defense. And you put up 571 yards and you scored at will when you needed to in the second half. You averaged almost 7 yards per play. So that's kind of where I'm at here. Like, I've taken a step back from the ledge that I was on during Ventline yesterday, and I'm viewing this through more of a big picture lens. I'm wondering if you guys have taken that step back with me or if you've jumped over the ledge. Where are you guys at?
No, I'm still exactly where I was, which is, look, the thing that makes our show in particularly special, that separates it from, let's say, different shows, is the fact that we're not looking to celebrate small wins. We're looking for a championship. And every Sunday is a referendum and a self-scout on how you're going to get there. So, and I think we've done a great job of properly celebrating the things that should be acknowledged. Kirk Cousins played great. KJ Osborne's a great find. All of those things are important, but the reality is, you know as well as I do, that if you play like you did in the four games out of the bye, like you did against Detroit and Carolina, you are going to lose. And so, no, I'm not, it's not like I'm saying, oh, they won and everybody sucked. That's not true. But I am saying this. The reality, and I guarantee what we come far closer on Ventline to what the Vikings say privately when they start to look at film. I guarantee you that what we're harping on is what they are as well. Because you know what? You're not going to get playing like you have the past 2 weeks. You might get wins against suspect teams, but you're not going to get anywhere near a Super Bowl. So I remain the same all of the time, which is I want to see as much excellence as possible. And that,
bitching about
and
everything.
That means no. We talked about this. The last 2 weeks, there have been flaws in coaching. There have been flaws. I said on Ventline yesterday, the personnel here to me is not the problem. You've got a lot of very quality personnel. Are they being deployed the most effective way possible to give yourself a chance to win games comfortably? That FYI, you should. The answer is no. The question is why. The solutions are in front of you, and you're going to need to come out of the bye with the solutions, or else we're looking about a non-playoff team. We are actively looking to save Zimmer's job.
And, I don't know if I go that far. Like, Zimmer can...
No, we're trying to help him.
Zimmer's job can live and die.
No, but what we're saying, if Mike watches this show, he has a better chance to save his job than if he doesn't.
I have 1 foot off the cliff, and Zimmer's coming with me. That's how this is working. Like, you're coming with me.
That's a very discouraging way to look at life.
Oh, I know. So negative.
Sports on.
Let's get into the pie chart here, right? Pie chart of praise from the Vikings.
Now on Mackie and Judd.
You wanted better charts that you could see the fine print on.
The pie chart of praise.
You should be singing his praises.
And let's start with Mr. Efficiency himself when it comes to pie charts. You want to talk about self-scouting, okay? This is a man, Judd Zulgad. Judd Zulgad, presented by Surly and Livia, that once did a 14.5-minute pie chart off of a preseason game, and he has self-scouted and found a sweet spot of like 5, 6, 7 minutes.
Demand excellence.
Here he is, Judd Zulgad.
Exactly right. Okay, we will start at the bottom with the play clock running. We will work our way up as we always do. We again will present a pie chart, and I would say it's going to be about 5.5. All right, 10%. And by the way, pie chart of praise. This is about to be very positive. 10% defensive line, 4 sacks, and I know the Panthers' line is suspect. Sam Darnold, as far as I'm concerned, just stinks, but that's fine. The Vikings had 4 sacks of Darnold on Sunday. They are now, at least through the early games, when I looked this up yesterday, tied for the National Football League, a lead with 21 sacks after having 23 all of last year. They are 2 sacks away from equaling their 16-game total of 2020. 10% defensive line. Kudos. The run defense isn't where I would like it to be, but you're getting to the quarterback. You're getting sacks. A lot has changed there because you now, again, have personnel that is good. 10%, I'm going to give it across the board to the 3 receivers, Thielen, Osborne, Jefferson. Now, Justin Jefferson didn't have as good of a day as we expect because we basically expect greatness. KJ Osborne, I mean, what more can we say? KJ Osborne's fantastic. He's been great.
He's really good.
Thielen comes back from a game in which he had 2 receptions on the last drive to catch, 11 balls? Your receivers, they balled out yesterday 10%.
I think, I'm just looking at the numbers here, they're all 3 on pace.
Yeah.
For it, like, Jefferson's on pace for well over 1,000. Thielen's on pace for 1,000. And Osborne's on pace for over 800 yards.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see if they can keep the pace up. And there's an extra game, 17th game. But the numbers these guys are on pace to put up are pretty ridiculous.
Yep. 10%, Dalvin Cook. All right. So he played hurt. I thought that he probably played too much. But the final stats are hard to argue with. 140 yards, 29 carries, a touchdown. When Dalvin Cook plays, the nice thing is it loosens things up because teams are going to be more concerned about him than they are, Madison or a different back. So, Dalvin Cook, you get 10%. And that leaves, and now people are probably like, well, Judd, I mean, those are small pieces of pie. Don't those guys deserve more pie? Don't they deserve bigger slices of the pie chart of praise?
No,
they don't. You know why? Because, ladies and gentlemen, the team and athletes control the narrative, not the people that pontificate about it. And this man,
say his nicknames.
And this
say his
man,
nicknames.
This man,
the, acknowledge me.
Acknowledge his nicknames.
I don't really want to. That's your shtick.
Say one of them.
late,
one of them.
The late game luminary.
There he is.
Yeah, there it is.
The late game luminary, Captain Kirk, Kirk Cousins, you get 70% of the pie chart of praise. The last 2 weeks, you have not single-handedly, but largely saved your team from embarrassment, from going down in flames. To Phil's point, I think Detroit for sure, you probably saved Zim's job. And Kirk Cousins throughout the course of this season in the first six games has been great when the pressure is on in almost every game. They've won some, they've lost some, week two, week one, not his fault as much. But anyway, 70% Kirk Cousins. I am more than happy to be a Kirk Cousins stan if Kirk Cousins is going to continue to play like this. Now, you know, when you face the Ravens and the Chargers and the Cowboys and the Packers, we'll find out. But for right now, 70% to Cousins, 10% to Dalvin Cook, 10% to the receiver trio, because we're going three deep, Phil Mackey, Thielen, Jefferson, and Osborne, and 10% to a defensive line that is only two sacks away from equaling its total for last year.
Amazing. When are we going to get a three deep poster reboot?
Look at that, boys.
Similar to the 420, one 20 years ago?
430 or 429, basically. Oh, I just ran a four-minute drill.
You did.
Kill, kill, kill.
That was good. It was efficient. It was opinionated. It was a lot of good entertainment in there. All right.
Yeah, I danced.
It's halftime. Here's the halftime show of Judd's Pie Chart.
Fuck my nose.
All right. All right, I'm gonna give you the biggest slice at the top because I'm just gonna piggyback off what Judd said. 50% of the pie chart of praise goes to the Dagger Doctor, goes to Mr. Game Winning Drive, Mr. GWD, the fourth quarter pharaoh, Kirky McClutcherton. Somehow, some way, the Vikings found themselves trailing in the second half. Maybe because Mike Zimmer just constantly plays to coach in close games, right? He kicks field goals inside the 5-yard line and very rarely inspires his team to throttle an opponent. And so inexplicably, the Vikings found themselves trailing in the second half, and in comes Kirk Cousins. He sets the Vikings up at the end of regulation. Here you go. All right, I did it again. Here you go. Greg Joseph misses the kick. All right, I guess we'll have to try again in overtime. And he says, we're not going to even leave this to the kicker. I'm going to find KJ Osborne down the field. Perfect game-winning touchdown pass.
Yep.
Kirk was excellent again in the biggest moments. And just to, and we can talk more about this. We'll have our State of the Offense episode on Thursday. Plenty more time. We'll talk about it with Boone, I'm sure, tomorrow. But I just want to bring up some numbers leading into the season here. For anyone who says, look at you guys pulling a 180 on Kirk. He's always been this guy, and now you guys owe Kirk an apology. That is not true, all right? Kirk Cousins, in the final 4 minutes of fourth quarter overtime, leading up to this season as Vikings quarterback, so 3 years of Kirk Cousins, in moments where you're trailing by two scores or less, late in the fourth quarter overtime, the opposing team knows you're going to pass, and it's all on you to figure it out. And he's been one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL up till this season. 46th in passer rating, 45th in yards per attempt, and more interceptions than touchdowns. You flip the switch to this season, and like Judd said, almost every game, he has delivered in the biggest spots with the Vikings either trailing or tied and need a score to go ahead. And he's been sabotaged a couple of times by Greg Joseph, but you know, we're six games in. This thing could change. He's put together hot stretches before, but this is the best he has played in those situations as Vikings quarterback. If you can't see the change in those situations, or if you think he's just been the same guy in those situations, you haven't been paying attention, and he deserves praise. He has changed the narrative. This isn't me doing a 180. This is me praising him rightfully for doing so well in these situations. So 50% to Kirk Cousins.
All right.
All right.
The deficit demolisher. You may mock offensive self-scouting, but I'm giving 30% to offensive self-scouting. All right. The performance wasn't flawless. There was definitely times where I thought the Vikings should be more aggressive, maybe not settling for field goals inside the 5-yard line. But ultimately, in the end, after 3.5 hours of play, after a week of offensive self-evaluation, the Vikings put up 571 total yards and 7 yards per play against one of the best defenses in the NFL. The Panthers also came in as the team that blitzed the most in the NFL and the team that generated the most pressure in terms of percentage of snaps that result in pressure. And the Vikings held them to single-digit pressures on 48 pass attempts yesterday. So, hey, it wasn't perfect offensively. They definitely turned it on at the right time in the second half. But something changed. Also, they came into the game with only 15 deep pass attempts in 5 games. It was bottom half of the NFL. They never threw deep. It was like 2 or 3 times a game they would throw the ball 20 yards or more in the air. Yesterday, 4 for 8 for over 100 yards, a game-winning touchdown, and 14 yards per attempt. Mm-hmm. Throw the ball down the field.
Imagine that.
It's glorious what can happen when you've got these weapons.
Imagine that. You put in the film. You grinded the film and said, I wonder if we should throw the ball deep more often.
And they did, and it worked, and they daggered the Panthers in overtime. 10% to the Vikings' new franchise left tackle on a rookie-scale contract for 5 seasons. Christian Darrisaw.
I like that. Yeah.
Part of my pie chart.
Bravo.
Praise,
that's right? A good one
for you.
That's a good one.
So 69 pass blocking snaps this season, Declan.
Nice.
There you go. One pressure allowed. Only one pressure allowed yesterday. No pressures allowed. Now he hasn't been, it's not like he's getting beat sometimes, but they haven't resulted in pressures. And that's the most important thing. So he's sitting over there. He's a massive body. He's picking this up quick. And he does not look overwhelmed at all. So 10% to Christian Darrisaw. And I'll give the other 10% here. This is my fourth and final slice of pie here. 10% to the Vikings defense as a whole for mostly doing its job. I mean, they helped force 3 turnovers. They had 4 sacks of Sam Darnold. You know, that's a putrid offense that shot itself in the foot. Like, they had 8 drop passes on their own, you know, so that wasn't necessarily Vikings defense related. And the Vikings defense has been mostly great since the second half of the Seattle game. So I'm having a hard time figuring out if this is the Vikings defense turning a corner and becoming a top 10 unit, or if they're just facing Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, and mediocre Baker Mayfield. We're going to find out for sure if Dak Prescott is healthy enough to play after the bye, and Justin Herbert and Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers. But 10% to the Vikings defense.
It feels like Patrick Peterson is playing really well.
And he cramped,
right,
they said.
But as long as it's just a cramp, that's fine. But, I mean, I think that he has been – it feels like teams are testing him still, and he's doing a really good job, and that's huge. That's absolutely huge.
So 50% to Kirk Cousins, 30% to offensive self-scouting and self-reflection.
Self-reflection.
And self-care.
You're giving them credit for doing something the three of us told them to do.
Well, it's good, but like,
good.
Like, this is what you should do. Well, you're doing
just
something
text
wrong.
Me. I can save you time. Text me. What should we do, Judd? Throw the ball deep more. You've got 3 receivers. You go 3 deep now. Go get the Moss, Carter, Reed poster, Clint Kubiak. Stick it above your bed and realize you got 3 guys that can play now.
And they did.
I'm sorry. Just frustrated.
You're adding to his pie chart times right now. Just, you're sabotaging him.
10% Christian Darrisaw. 10% Vikings defense for mostly doing its job. All right. 6 minutes, 7 minutes.
6:58. Right. But like 50 seconds of that was Judd on
the
soapbox.
The goal is not to get through this as quick as possible. That was very solid.
You were like the referees yesterday. You had your own huddle to just waste time over the football
game. His Darrisaw point was a great point. It needs extrapolation on. No, it's great. Thank you. Fantastic.
Amazing.
I didn't think of Darrisaw. I should have probably.
And Declan Goff, your pie chart.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
All right. Here we go. No, I don't know if I'm going 2 minutes because I have 6 pieces of pie.
Nice,
I have 6 pieces of pie to hand out today.
Pie.
As from the bottom as I go my way up. I'll start.
You can't have pop without Cool Whip.
Cool Whip. I'll start at the smallest part. The smallest part with the Cool Whip. The Cool Whip of my pie chart of praise for this little 5%er is to Chris Herndon. Chris Herndon finally showed up. He catches a touchdown. He plays 22 snaps. Actually, yesterday, Chris Herndon was the 3rd highest graded player on the Vikings offense. He had a 76.6 grade.
He played 22 snaps.
He played 22 snaps. I know you didn't really notice him out there.
Hard
a lot.
To see on TV.
24, excuse me. 24. Put some respect on Chris Herndon's name.
Okay.
24 snaps. That was 27% of the offensive snaps for the Vikings, but a solid grade, catches a touchdown, doesn't commit a penalty, does the one thing. Chris Herndon, get a little coo whip on my pie chart of praise for 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Christian Darrisaw, 10%. Christian Darrisaw comes in with his first start, plays very, very well. He had a 70 pass blocking grade. That was the best on the Vikings offensive line yesterday. Not bad for a rookie, dude. He had the best pass blocking grade of any offensive lineman for the Vikings yesterday. He finally is now healthy. He finally gets the keys to the left tackle position. Rashad Hill, I know he got hurt on the special teams play. This should be Christian Darrisaw's spot for the rest of the season and hopefully for the next 5-10 years managing the Vikings offensive line. Christian Darrisaw deserves 10% of the pie chart of praise. 15% to the Vikings defensive line for getting after Sam Darnold and that putrid Panthers offensive line. I mean, it just goes to show what Danielle Hunter can bring and what these other players can bring. For God's sakes, James Lynch, dude. James Lynch coming out of nowhere with a big sack yesterday. Dalvin Tomlinson with half a sack. Anthony Barr with half a sack. 4 sacks total for the Vikings yesterday, and a lot of that comes from the pressure they're getting on the defensive line. 4 quarterback hits. They're actually pressuring the quarterback this year. Most sacks in the NFL. You got to love what the defensive line brings. So 15% to that defensive line. Similar to Judd, I'm grouping the Vikings receivers as a whole in my pie chart of praise. So 20% to the Vikings wide receivers. Yeah, you have a new 3-deep, dude. I don't know if KJ Osborne can get to 1,000 yards, but he's been reliable on third down. He catches a big-time overtime game-winning touchdown. Shades of Stephon Diggs throwing that helmet in the air. Obviously, Thielen and Jefferson are studs. We know that. And Jefferson, yeah, with the costly fumble yesterday, maybe not the most pristine performance we've seen from him. But Adam Thielen with 11 grabs, Justin Jefferson with 8 grabs, 13 and 14 targets respectively for Thielen and Jefferson. Yes, that's exactly what we want. That's what they should be doing. And they had a big day, so they get 20% of my pie chart of praise. 10% to Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook has a monster day yesterday. I think quietly rushes for 140 yards. It certainly did not feel like he had that big of a day, but he got the rock 29 times, 4.8 yards per carry, and a touchdown. Obviously, this Vikings offense likes to hand off the ball no matter who is there. Alexander Mattison had 29 carries last week. Dalvin Cook has 29 carries this week. Madison gets a little bit ignored, but obviously Dalvin Cook is a special player, and Cook still deserves credit. So 10% to Dalvin Cook. And then finally, the biggest chunk of pie to the late game luminary, the Dagger Doctor, Mr. Game Winning Drive, the Colossus of Clutch. And I believe Ben Gessling even had a note on this from Kirk Cousins, who was absolutely phenomenal again in a game winning drive situation. In the last 12 games, Kirk Cousins has had a chance to win or tie the game, and Kirk has delivered that 6 times. So he's actually, he's doing the one thing that I've been asking him, a lot of people have been asking him to do, is just be clutch, rise up to a moment. The Fox pregame show, or on the halftime show yesterday, spent the entire halftime show saying, when is Kirk Cousins going to be this guy? He had the one throw to Thielen in the playoff game. When has he ever been the guy that rises up to the moment? And right now, Kirky McClutcherton is silencing all the critics, man.
Kirk Clutch.
Yes, Kirk Clutch. Right. 40% of the praise, dude. He had a monster day. So six pieces of pie. 6 in my pie chart of praise.
Go ahead.
I was going to say 5% to Herndon, 10% to Darrisaw, 15% to the defensive line, 20% to the receivers, 10% to Dalvin Cook, and 40% to Kirk Cousins. Oh, my God. I forgot to time myself.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure. You forgot to time your. Oh, no.
You had the internal clock. The internal clock you had.
Yeah. Nice.
Very good.
Nice work, old Kirk
Cousins. And again, like Kirk, you don't get an award for doing it against the Lions and the Panthers to pull back to 500, right? Like, this is about playoffs. This is about championship. And so you're going to have to also do it maybe against a Dak Prescott-led Cowboys team that might be one of the 3 best teams in the NFL. Like, you're going to have to do it against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. So these performances, we don't just get to, like, bow down and worship.
Oh, if you don't, like, get off, Phil.
I'm saying, like,
bandwagon, get off the bandwagon.
Let's keep it going.
Exactly.
I'm saying here.
Yeah,
just like Judd is keeping the momentum going on his path to a healthier lifestyle.
Oh, that is thanks to my friends, and I'm going to talk about them right now. Livia Weight Control Centers. the pandemic pounds, and I think you can see it in my face now. The pandemic pounds are peeling off. I'm in 2 weeks' time, guys, down almost 12 pounds. This program gives me structure, and it's easy to follow. And guess what? I don't have to take microwave meals to stadiums and be like, do you have a microwave I can use for my special? It combines food I buy with food that I get from them, but it's a very, very simple thing. I'm feeling great. I'm sleeping great. And now it's your turn. If you join now, get the first 10 weeks free. Limited time offer ends soon. Again, that's the first 10 weeks free. Visit Livia.com or call 855-GO-LIVEA. Livia.com. Get the structure. You could still live life. You could still have fun. But a lot of us gain weight during the pandemic. A lot of us need to lose that weight now. And Livia.com is the place to start. And tell them Judd and Score North sent you, because it helps us too. We appreciate that.
Awesome. And the good news about Livia is they still let you drink beer. And so Surly, Judd,
like,
you must be furious about something.
Oh, brought to you by our friends.
I try to praise.
Exactly right. Brought to you by our friends who, of course, sponsor all things that have to do with Purple Daily. Surly Brewing, to Phil's point, furious. My favorite, really good tailgate boys on Saturday before the Gopher game, at which I crashed it. It was actually supposed to be sponsored by a different beer, and I rolled in with my Furious and October.
That was like Degeneration X rolling into WCW.
And I cut a promo.
He's like, "No,
are you ready?"
And I cut a promo, and here is why. Here is why.
Are you ready?
I am surly. I must be furious. All right. I have only one message today for our Vikings. Enough of the late game shenanigans and meltdowns. The Vikings barely just pulled out not one, but two consecutive games in which they should have won easily. And look, Kirk Cousins has been great, right? But relying on Captain Clutch versus the Lions and Panthers works. Is that going to work against Dallas? Is that going to work against Baltimore? Is that going to work against the Chargers, against the Packers? And I'm not blaming Kirk. I'm just saying, if the rest of the team doesn't do its job, these late game cardiac kids act. I mean, you're giving your fans, we're trying to watch you win a Super Bowl, and you're actively trying to kill us. Stop with it. Take control. There is no such thing as a perfect game. I get that. So like, say, in four quarters and you don't give up anything, that's not true. But you know what there is? You know what there is, boys? There is a complete game. And the Vikings have yet, and this is not on Kirk, the Vikings have yet to play what I would consider to be a complete game where something that shouldn't go wrong doesn't go wrong. There's just too many things. And these last two games, you've been very fortunate to win against not great teams. You've got four tough teams coming up. Late game meltdowns in those cases will cost you wins. Stop with it.
Judd Zolgad, surly, he must be furious.
Don't want to have a heart attack.
It's a good segue, too, because we also, you know, we're very fair and balanced, if you will, on this show. And so when the Vikings win, we do pie chart of praise, and we balance it out with nitpicks, things that we would like to see different, right? And when they lose, we do pie chart of blame, and then we balance out with silver linings. So to Judd's point about the Vikings just constantly being in these late game grinder situations. Yesterday in the NFL, and I brought this up on Ventline, that the Vikings just seem incapable of stomping out an opponent, right? You got the Lions at home.
You did.
Stomp them out. You got the now the going into this Panthers game, this was not the Vikings were favored, but like this was not supposed to be a stomp them out game until the Panthers started dropping 08 passes and just turning the ball over at will. And like the Panthers did not show up to win that game offensively at all yesterday. And the Vikings offensive line was holding off the Panthers' vaunted defensive pass rush. So literally everything you could possibly script to be perfect for the Vikings yesterday played itself out in the first two or three quarters. And they're still losing. And it makes no sense. And so I was just kind of curious. Yeah, I just kind of went back the last couple seasons. Yesterday in the NFL alone, we had six games that resulted in a blowout score of 3 touchdowns or more in terms of final score, like 31-8 or whatever, right?
Yes.
6 blowout games in the NFL yesterday that resulted in a 3-touchdown or more gap as a final score.
Yes.
Over the last 27 games, the Vikings have only taken 1 20-point lead or more, period. Forget about final score. Over the last 27 games, including the 2 playoff games at the end of 2019, mm-hmm. I'm going to repeat that. The Vikings have only taken 1 20-point lead or more over that time. And it was at home against the Lions last year. So they're just, whether it's the defensive meltdowns or a blocked punt like yesterday or conservative offensive play calling and just wanting to settle for field goals inside the 5-yard line, the Vikings are not maximizing their chances. And they're not going to be there every week, but like when you get a chance once or twice a month, whatever it may be, to stomp somebody out, put your foot on the throttle, man, like, or put your foot on the gas, I guess, and use your hand to throttle down. I'm a car guy, really. It just drives me nuts that they're even like losing that game in the second half. So, yeah, that's my nitpick, that Mike Zimmer coach teams are just a gravitational pull toward close, muddy, no reason to be in that situation.
Totally fair. Totally fair. Here's mine. And again, it's nitpicks. So it's small things. This is not major, but I think it's indicative of how the Vikings think. And I'm not saying that this player is not valuable, but I'm saying I think there was more room here. My nitpick is this. Dalvin Cook, really good day. And is really tough kid. Had missed 2 of the past 3 games, played in this game, and the Vikings were like, we're going to ride him. If you trust Alexander Mattison enough to give him the amount of carries that he has when Cook is out, when Cook is clearly not, you know, I mean, he cannot turn the corner consistently right now. I don't think he can put his left foot in the ground and plant well. And look, he sprained his ankle. That's a problem. I don't understand why, in that case, Madison ends up with 3 carries for 10 yards. Like 3 carries? Really? He can't have 10 carries? Cook is your bell cow. He is your star. You pay him well. If he plays in a game, he should have more touches and carries. I agree. But nitpick-wise, there's a lot more teams now going to at least semi-2-back systems. And I guess I don't get, with the bye coming up, why you wouldn't just take about 10 carries off of Cook and give them to a guy who you deem, when Cook is out, to be incredibly capable of carrying the load. And so my nitpick is Dalvin Cook is still the focal point of the run game, but I think that there's far more room to share. And when Dalvin Cook is banged up and is about to get a week off, it shouldn't be, let's ride him more. It should be, how can we get him into the off week to recover as healthy as possible? That's my nitpick.
It did work yesterday.
It did.
He was very effective. This is probably, I had to go back and see, but this is probably the most offensive snaps the Vikings have had in a game for sure this season.
84, right?
I mean, that's a ton of
snaps.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's the most. I'm sure it's
It might even be the most they've had in years. Maybe we can look that up between shows or something. But all right, Declan, what's your biggest nitpick?
I'm just out on Garrett Bradbury. I'm so sick of it, dude. Like, it's year 3. He can't pass block. A 32.7 pass blocking grade yesterday. Ooh. The dude was a 4-year starter at NC State, go Wolfpack. And for God's sakes, like, if you're not going to be this big blocking guy, if you're not going to take steps forward, this is the end of Garrett Bradbury. Like, this is, do not pick up the 5th-year option. Look to find a more competent center in free agency or the draft. I don't care where, but don't also reach for someone who is clearly not going to be a good pass blocking guy. They reached for Garrett Bradbury. And yes, he's fine in the run game, but I need a center who can pass block. And watching Garrett Bradbury get absolutely bullied for now 6 straight weeks, and honestly, the last 2.5 years, because he's in year 3 with the Vikings, I'm just out on watching Garrett Bradbury, dude. He can't pass block. Find a new center this offseason.
They're going to have to, right? Like, it's a problem. And it's another thing, if you're looking for reasons, and it's valid. Like if you're looking for excuses for, you know, the lack of team success over the years with Kirk Cousins as quarterback, well, get him a real center, you know, in the Peyton Manning had Jeff Saturday for all those years.
Right.
Now, maybe Peyton Manning made Jeff Saturday better than Kirk Cousins can make Garrett Bradbury, but like Jeff Saturday was a better player.
Yeah.
Matt Burke was on this team for a decade.
Well, those 90s
quarterbacks had Jeff Christie.
Yep.
So Garrett Bradbury is not upholding a long line of great play at center. The Vikings have had great play at center. Mick Tinglehoff for 20 years, right?
Yeah, he's just too small.
So it's
too small. Can't do it. No. Can't do it.
I'll give you another one here quick too. I just felt like, God, Mike Zimmer, for as tough of a guy as he comes off, right? As much as he talks a big game about toughness and he's grizzled and ornery, he really does coach scared and cowardly sometimes. You know, like yesterday, the Vikings are up by 8 points, 2.5 minutes to go. They're trying to close out this game. It's 3rd and 8 from the fringe of field goal range. It's like a 50-yard field goal. And they hand the ball off instead of trusting Kirk Cousins in that spot. And I do think that Mike tends to lean, like, whether it's Kirk or Case Keenum, like, he'd rather run the ball in key situations so that his quarterback can't screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
But you've seen his running backs fumble in big spots. Seahawks, that wasn't a fumble, but not get the yard.
Fisher?
Was a fumble against the Lions.
Madison, yeah.
Last week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you go with sort of a cowardly play call. By the way, if you just put the ball in Kirk's hands there, more likely than not, based on the game he was having, he probably completes a pass for a first down. And now you're just running. Now the game's basically over. So instead they run the ball, they lose yardage. And so now it's 4th down and you have 2 choices. So he's already made one sort of cowardly play call. But now it's 4th down. You can attempt a 54-yard field goal to end the game, essentially. Or you can punt the ball because, I don't know, we might not be able to make the field goal. So let's punt and make Carolina go the full field because I trust my defense. Well, first of all, Carolina did go the full field, and they did get the 2-point conversion because that's just what happens in the NFL. Even if your quarterback, Sam Darnold, like defenses start to play back a little bit more. If you trust your defense so much, kick the 54-yard field goal. If he makes it, the game's over. But if he misses it, you trust your defense. It's great. Now they still have to go 60 yards and get a 2-point conversion.
Or on 3rd down, pass the ball. Your quarterback was great.
That would be the primary option.
Your receivers are damn good.
On 3rd and 8.
Yes.
But here's the other thing, all right? So, like, on that play, on that 3rd and 8 play. So he showed you on the next play. It's a 4th down. And it's a 54-yard field goal. And he's telling you, Mike Zimmer, I don't trust Greg Joseph to make a 54-yarder because he already missed a kick.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't trust him from 54, do you trust him from 48 or 49? Like to me, he just doesn't trust Greg Joseph in that spot. So all the more reason to not hand the ball off with a 50-yard field goal on 3rd and 8. What are you hoping happens? I guess he hopes it's a 10-yard run for a 1st down or something. I don't know, but like, what's the chances of that happening?
Not good.
So it's like he doesn't have any actual formed strategy. He's just like making decisions on a whim, play by play, and it's sort of concerning to me.
Yeah.
And they're cowardly decisions oftentimes.
Yep.
So it's my second nitpick. Said to get that off my chest there.
Mine is this.
Feels good.
To playoff
another one.
Do you have another one?
To playoff, yeah. To playoff Dex's gripe. Ole Udo, dude, clean it up. What, 4 penalties? I like what he's done. He's being asked to make a transition that I contend is pretty tough from tackle to right guard. But you can't play like you did yesterday. And again, expect to be good teams. Like, you can't be taking, I think it was 3 or 4 penalties in that game alone. So I think it was clearly his worst day in the first 6 games, and he's done a nice job for the most part, but clean that stuff up, because if that happens against the next 4 teams, it's going to cost you pretty badly.
Yeah.
That's my nitpick.
All right, Dex, you got anything else to get off your chest?
Just
here, Dex?
Greg Joseph, just do the one damn thing you're asked to do. Please just make
get him on the right
goal.
Hash, Declan. I told you that. My kicking spies.
I thought you said left hash.
No, the correct. I'm sorry.
The correct hash?
By right hash. Get him on the correct hash for him. He wants
absurd.
He wants left hash. No, it's actually not. It actually makes sense. Watch his kicks. Watch where they go. if he was kicking from the left hash, which I believe he did when
that
he hit the 54
close
yarder, it would have hooked back in. That's a make.
There's one thing you got to do, man. I don't care if you're on the left or right hash.
Well, see, you and Zimmer, you and the Vikings, you're stubborn, bullheaded. You listen
to
your kicker.
Okay. There's two ways to look at this. On one hand, would it be nice to have a kicker that wasn't so high maintenance that he just needs it perfectly? Just make kick. But on the other hand, if your kicker feels more comfortable,
yes,
especially with like game-winning field goals on the left hash, can you get the guy lined up on the left hash? Is it that much to ask?
Exactly.
It is a lot to ask for, because when you're trying to get when you have no timeouts and you have to just do a quick play and spike the ball, you don't know where you're going to be sometimes. So him having to ask for where it's going to be is, I think, too much. Like when they had that last play to spike the ball, it's to the right. Well, sorry, that was the open play. That's the only play we got to do. Sorry, Greg Joseph. Can't put the ball for your little pristine side on the left side.
All right,
that's
then he's
where
gonna
it has
miss.
To be.
Then he's going to miss.
Sorry, guy.
Then
guy.
You're not going to get the field goal.
Kick the field goal, dude.
Then you're
not
going to get
hard.
It. No, he's not now. He's going to miss. Screw that, he says. I'm done.
Just breaking news, the Vikings did win their football game yesterday.
Yeah, it was
good.
You
beat
know,
the Carolina Panthers on the road 34-28.
Sunday night.
They have clawed back to 500 and some fun games on the horizon.
Primetime game, number 8, under the lights. He's a new man. The marquee is going to say, come see the new Cousins.
Love it. I love it. All right. Good therapeutic show there. I think a proper amount of praise for Kirky McClutcherton.
Dex and I are fighting.
And so, don't forget, if you missed Vikings Vent Line yesterday, it was hot. A lot of great callers. A lot of first-time callers as well. So check that out. And please click subscribe and like if you're watching us on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. Alex Boone tomorrow. A Purple After Dark tomorrow night at 11 o'clock p.m. Central Time with Realistic Randy. Daily Vikings Entertainment here on Purple Daily. Presented by Sterling Brewing Company. See you guys.